Good afternoon to all of you. Welcome to the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon, early evening. Glad to be here with you today as we have a pretty good handful of topics to discuss. But we're going to lead up the show talking baseball because there was some major breaking news that came out yesterday that I want to have the opportunity to discuss fully during this segment. And that is the New York Mets second baseman, Robinson Cano, suspended for the entire 2021 season after testing positive for PED. And I got to tell you, if you are a baseball fan, even a Mets fan, it's a disturbing day. It's at this point, 24 hours removed since the news first broke. And even right now, I'm not even sure what to really make of what we all found out. I mean, there's so many layers to this that makes this so incredibly stunning. And honestly, I personally just don't, I don't even know how to feel as a baseball fan, except, wow, I guess you didn't really learn the first time because you decided that a second time would be completely okay, huh? And it's a shame because at one point, this man was looked upon as one of the absolute elite second basemen in the major leagues. No questions asked. If you have any thoughts or comments, feel free to call and leave a voice message at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I mean, I guess we're going to just approach it one layer at a time. Let's start with this. You were suspended in May of 2018 for 80 games. 80 games. And back then, you said that I would never cheat the game that I love. Those were your words. Back then, you would think 80 games will be enough of a deterrent to absolutely never do this again. You'd think that Robinson Cano, after the first time, would absolutely ensure that he never does anything remotely this stupid again. No. None of that even mattered. To him, at the end of the day, it all was about getting that final push to keep my career going. Speaking in second person. And that, to me, was the most damning of all. Robbie Cano, he's 38 years old. He's getting older. There's no getting around that. And the worst part about it is this. This is a guy who is absolutely elite. And then you talk about a guy who is ranked fourth in wins above replacement among players to debut between 1990 and 2009. Scott Rowland being number one, 70.1. Miguel Cabrera, 69.3. Manny Ramirez also tied for second with Cabrera, 69.3. Robinson Cano ranked fourth on that list. I don't know how you possibly look at Robinson Cano the same, both as a baseball player and as a person, after the second positive PED test. Okay, the first time, I'll give you, we all make mistakes. Sure. Second time, that wasn't a mistake. That was a choice. And a damning choice at that. When he knew, this wasn't as if that he didn't know. He didn't know any better. He knew that there were grave consequences the first time that he did it. He got caught. He still did it again anyway. And then the second part. Let's look at the second layer of all of this. And Matt Vazgersian really said it best on Hot Stove on MLB Network this morning. He said that normally players would have some sort of an apology or a statement released through the Major League Baseball Players Association to release to the media. It's been radio silence for Robinson Cano. Absolute radio silence. I mean, nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. Robbie Cano, 8-time All-Star, 5-time Silver Slugger, 2-time Gold Glove Award winner, 6-star higher and AL MVP running in 5 consecutive seasons between 2010 and 2014. And then during those times, he averaged batting over 326 home runs and 100-plus runs batted in. This wasn't some scrub that we're talking about. This was one of the absolute elite second basemen in the major leagues. But back to the point that I was saying, normally that there's some sort of statement released on behalf of the player through the Players Association. Nothing. Nothing. I don't get what possibly could have been going through Robinson Cano's head, especially considering that he had already been popped once before. And somehow he thought that, well, it'll be no big deal this time, but I'm going to still do it anyway. I mean, the conscientious decision that he made to go and still do it is the part that is absolutely sickening. That's the part that I look at and I say, ooh, I don't know if the New York Mets, hell, even the New York media can possibly take very kindly to this. And considering that Cano had one of his best seasons in a couple of years in 2020, it's amazing that he needed to resort to this. And it's a shame. I'll ask you this question, Boston, New England, and anywhere else in the country that those are listening to the show. How do you view Robinson Cano this morning? Honestly and truthfully, how do you look at him this morning after his second PED positive test? I don't think you can look at him the same. First time, you again, for me personally, I would absolutely, a little gray area. It's a shame. Okay. Hopefully he never does it again. Second time? That's not a mistake. That's a choice. You woefully went and took this substance. Now, Brody Van Wagenen at the time, when he made this deal to acquire Robinson Cano from the Mariners to the New York Mets prior to the start of the 2019 season, he said, quote, wait a minute. He tested positive for a diuretic. Oh. So now you're excusing his actions? Is that what you're doing? Bad look. So Brody Van Wagenen is no longer the GM of the Mets now, having been fired as part of the clean house that Steve Cohen did once he took upon the ownership role of the New York Mets. But how do you explain this if you're Robinson Cano? And I think radio silence is the most appropriate response, because you don't have an excuse. You've got absolutely nothing to stand on. And to me, this is the most damning take that I probably will ever deliver on this show. And I've been doing this radio program since July of 2019. And I've had some pretty passionate moments and segments in which I talked about passionate topics and issues. But this one, Robinson Cano should not be playing in the major leagues ever again. If Major League Baseball could somehow ever tighten up its stance on performance-enhancing drugs, this shouldn't be a third time. Because I look at the fact that Robinson Cano has two more seasons after 2021. He's got 2022 and 2023. Both seasons in which that he's due, respectively, $20-plus million per season. How do you reward a guy who has been busted twice for PEDs? I mean, just on the moral compass alone. Forget what the Players Association and the labor union would allow or wouldn't allow. I don't give a damn. How do you reward, I wouldn't even say award, reward or compensate a man who has gone out of his way not once, twice, to defy the rules and to defy the protocols all set in stone by Major League Baseball and to the players who do it the right way, clean, who battle just to get to the major leagues. And Ron Darling really said something beautiful on Hot Stove. It's not just the fact that Robinson Cano tested positive for PEDs. It's the fact that the players that he faced who may have been young, who got their chance, and Robinson Cano did some offensive damage in a game or two or whatever, and those kids were sent back down, and they may or may not ever get another chance to sniff the major leagues again. There's some serious ramifications from this man's actions. And I really do feel for those young pitchers who had to face Robinson Cano, who, whether it was knowingly or unknowingly, was juiced up on PEDs. But man, when I tell you that this is not something that the Mets fan base or Major League Baseball should be proud of. We're talking about a player who has absolutely been as accomplished as he has been throughout his career. 8 All-Stars, 5 Gold Gloves, 5 straight seasons finishing in top 5 in the MVP voting. Top 6, rather, excuse me. I don't think this is something to celebrate. Well, at least the Mets will be off the book for $24 million this season. Yeah! I'm not so sure if that's really a good thing. Just based on a sense of just the sheer gravity of the situation and the fact, considering that you went out of your way to bring in a guy who has now shown you that he can't perform at a high level without PEDs. And that in itself is a shame. What do you do moving forward if you're the New York Mets? How do you address the second base situation? That's the real question. Because one would think, if you follow the Hot Stove offseason closely, that DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees is a free agent. And considering that Steve Cohen's got deep pockets, he's going to want to sign players and top talent to provide the Mets an opportunity, not just to make the playoffs, but to win the whole World Series. Could the Mets be in play for DJ LeMahieu? I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think it's crazy to even consider that very notion at all. And I think it's something that if you are the Mets, would you be willing to look at signing him to a 3-year, 4-year deal? DJ LeMahieu, that is. Not really so sure. But I definitely think that it is definitely a question that Met fans are going to have to think about. give it some thought, but especially the front office, especially Sandy Alderson, who basically right now is on a new leash. And I'll be the first to tell you, right now, if you are the New York Mets, you definitely have a tall order in front of you. You need to address the second base situation. Who knows what happens? Coming up next, I'm going to talk about the Patriots because there is a question that I think it's worth asking in regarding to Cam Newton. I'm going to address that during the next segment of the Sugar Ray Show right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Sugar Ray, you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tux Free Form Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. They're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal.
Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Oh, hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Do you love classic rock but hate the lack of variety on classic rock stations? Then tune in to Classic Rock Mine. Classic Rock Mine delivers classic rock that rocks. From bands you know like Grand Funk Railroad, Mott the Hoople, and Uriah Heep, to bands you don't know like the Flower Traveling Band, Papo's Blues, and Nectar. Classic Rock Mine. It's the best classic rock you've never heard. Saturday nights from 9 to 11 on 91.5 WMFO Medford. Tufts University Radio.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman. Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Yes, I'm gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Beep, beep, yeah.
The fallout resulting from nuclear detonation or the flying debris could kill you in seconds. That's air pollution. But man's deliberate pollution of the air he breathes will take a little longer. Words to think about from the sportsmen in your area and the National Rifle Association of America.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free from Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Just as a reminder, a couple of housekeeping items I want to go over in regards to the Shukri Wright Show. You can listen to this broadcast and all broadcasts of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford on iHeartRadio. It is available to listen to on demand on iHeartRadio. You listen to it as a podcast as well on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and Anchor as well. But that being said, I also want to take the time to also mention that that I will be off next Thursday. It will be Thanksgiving. So I will not be doing the Shukri Wright Show at all next week, but I will, in fact, return the following week on December 3rd. So again, next week, no Shukri Wright Show. It is Thanksgiving, and that I want to take the time to wish all of you a safe, a healthy, and a happy Thanksgiving to all of those who may be celebrating with their families this holiday season. Now, the New England Patriots won on Sunday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. They beat them 23-17. Impressive win. I really like what I saw in terms of the run game. I really like what I saw from Cam Newton. And Jacoby Myers continues to prove each and every week since the Buffalo game that he is becoming the Patriots' number one receiver. A spot once held by Julian Edelman, who is due to come off IR this week. Will he play this week? We'll see. Only time will tell. But I want to actually take the time to talk about the Patriots because Cam Newton. Much has been made about Cam Newton and whether if this season is going to be the season in which that we see Cam Newton return back to form. You know, like, how is he going to fare being the one-time, or should I say, the one-time NFL MVP, all pro quarterback, and so forth. But here's an interesting question that I do have as well. And I want to pose this out to the Patriot fans. Is Cam Newton the answer for next season? I want you to think about this for a moment. I know questions have been asked about, does Cam Newton still have it? Is Cam Newton still a viable option as a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL? Can you win with him? But you have to remember the following when it comes to Cam Newton. Number one, this was a man who, through the first 3 weeks of the season, and although he didn't look good in the game against the Raiders, but even then, overall, the first 3 weeks of the season, he looked like as if he was the guy that was going to lead the Patriots to the postseason. I mean, 10-6? Yeah, maybe. At that time, yes. However, you talk about a guy who has gone through adversity on numerous levels this season. First and foremost, let's start with the fact that he tested positive for COVID. That really changed everything, and as well as the fortunes for the Patriots this season up until that point. They go into that game against Kansas City. They played, and they did not play well with Brian Hoyer under center, as well as eventually, Jarrett Stidham was no better either. And Cam Newton didn't practice. I mean, the team didn't really practice for a significant amount of days at one point because of the outbreak of COVID. Cam Newton, Stephon Gilmore, they both had it. So because of the COVID protocols, the team didn't practice if I remember correctly, at one point for 10-plus days in a row. They didn't practice. One of the games had to be pushed. And Cam Newton, here we are. We're talking about him now you know, he's become a problem in terms of taking care of the ball. I mean, you go back and you look at the game against Buffalo in particular as an example, that fumble. And that fumble was with the Patriots driving down the field. And those are the kind of turnovers that absolutely are killers on offensive drives. But not harping on that point for too long because Cam Newton, in more ways than one, I look at and I say, here are the factors and here is the honest truth. This is not excuse making, but this is the truth. Cam Newton didn't have a full offseason to learn the Patriots offense. That's one. And even then, and this was talked about greatly, in which that, and even then, he still worked his tail off to learn the offense and to find chemistry with his receivers. I mean, something that Brady failed to do last season in his final year with the Patriots. Then there was also the aspect of Cam Newton had COVID. Can't necessarily blame him for that at all. Because, frankly, anybody can catch COVID, no matter how careful you may be. But that's just the speaking the truth. And then we can sit here and talk about the struggles he had against the Niners in that horrendous game in which he got benched. We can sit here and talk about the Buffalo Bills game, that turnover that cost the team a win. We can sit here and talk about those things. Sure. But Cam Newton, at this point in juncture, and I know some Patriot fans are going to roll their eyes when I say this, what I'm about to say, but Cam Newton is your best option right now. Right now, yes. There are those in the camp of the Patriots should tank for Trevor Lawrence. You missed that opportunity when you came back to win that game against the New York Jets in the game that they gave away. You missed that. You missed that chance. So if you are the Patriots, and if you're a Patriots fan, we're looking ahead to next season. The season's not done. I'm not talking about whether the Patriots are going to make the playoffs or not. That's not what this is about. This is about whether if Cam Newton is the best option for the Patriots next season. Let's look at the landscape right now, shall we? Cool. You and I know that next offseason, it's going to be an interesting one because there's the prospect of Aaron Rodgers potentially being his last season in Green Bay because they already have a quarterback in waiting in Jordan Love. Philip Rivers is on a one-year contract with the Indianapolis Colts. Does he play another year? What happens with that situation? And so much has been made about Trevor Lawrence. Oh, suck for Lawrence and the Jets deliberately doing their part to ensure that they get that number one overall pick, which would mean Trevor Lawrence would be that number one overall selection because he is that good of a quarterback down at Clemson right now. But here's the thing. Trevor Lawrence isn't an option right now for the Patriots. Heck, they don't even have the capital to even make a move towards the number one overall pick. And the Jets, they're not helping. They're not doing the Patriots any favors. And if you want to look on the roster, who is your two other quarterbacks that you have in the roster currently? Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Neither of which are ready to start or are capable of being a starting quarterback. There's a reason why Brian Hoyer is a career backup quarterback journeyman. Jarrett Stidham, I'm almost completely out on Jarrett Stidham. I don't think he's good enough to be a starter in this league. Maybe not here. Maybe elsewhere. Maybe. But here in New England, no. I don't see it. So if you are the Patriots, and if you're a Patriots fan, let's ask this question very honestly. Is Cam Newton the viable option for starting quarterback next season? My answer is yes. The question that I would say to those that are probably screaming at the radio is, okay, if Cam Newton is not your best option for next season to be your starting quarterback, who is? I'll wait. Because the 2021 NFL draft, just looking ahead, does not feature a whole lot of home run prospects in terms of the quarterback position outside of Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. That's it. After that, the drop-off is significant. It's absolutely significant. And the thing that I look at is, again, you look at your options, your realistic options, not some interesting concoction of proposal for trades and, you know, moving up in the draft and so forth. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your possibilities of being able to contend for now with a quarterback in which that has helped you get to this point, both in the good and the not so good. But the truth is this. If you're the New England Patriots and you're taking a long, hard look at whatever happens with the Patriots moving forward, whether they make the playoffs or not, you have to honestly ask yourself this question. If not Cam Newton, then who? Because Justin Fields is not falling all the way down to the mid first round. It's not happening. It's not falling down to what, 16, 17? That's not happening. Some team at the top, maybe it could be the Giants. I mean, who knows? Some team at the top, the top five or six, they're not trading down. And Justin Fields is not going to fall all the way down to the mid to the lower first round of the NFL draft. It's not happening. Trevor Lawrence going number one, that's a guarantee at this point. That's if, by the way, if he decides to enter the NFL draft, because he does have another year at Clemson of eligibility. So with that being said, there's that aspect. But if you're the Patriots, how do you possibly not bring back Cam Newton for next season as well? The only real question that I would have is whether it will be with Bill Belichick as head coach or will it be with someone else? Because there have been some rumors floating out there that this could be, maybe, could be Belichick's final season. We don't know. I mean, it's not a given, but I've been hearing some rumors on like local radio and so forth. And I honestly don't think it's a completely far-fetched idea. I don't. But again, the Patriots, if they want to be a contender, a playoff contender next season, and I'm not even talking about being a Super Bowl contender. Right now, your best option is Cam Newton. Because everywhere else in terms of the quarterback landscape in the NFL, and as well as the prospects in terms of the NFL draft, absolutely barren. There's nothing out there other than Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. And neither one, and both picks, I'm willing to guarantee right now, they're going both within the top 10. I'm willing to guarantee you that much because I'm that confident in saying that. And here's the other part to consider. If the Patriots didn't trade Jimmy Garoppolo, would they be talking about possibly, and I mean possibly, trying to make a trade for him again? Because there is that aspect too. Because this is something that has been talked about. And listen, the growing sentiment in San Francisco is that the Niners cannot, for whatever reason, cannot see themselves winning a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. And here's the part that's absolutely stunning in all of this. We are 9.5 months removed from the 49ers getting to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know he's out right now with the injury and so forth. And a lot has been made about Kyle Shanahan and his frustration in terms of feeling that he cannot properly execute the West Coast offense with Jimmy Garoppolo because he has to hold him back. But the real question is this really a Jimmy Garoppolo issue or is this a system issue in San Francisco? That's really the question that has to be asked. And if the 49ers, if the 49ers were to even make a trade or trade him, who would possibly be interested? The Patriots would ask one thought. Yeah, because he's familiar with Bill Belichick. He's familiar with the system. But then there's also the aspect of Jimmy G returns. Okay, cool. What do you do now with Cam Newton? Do you let him go? Or do you say, hey, you know what? We're going to have a competition for the starting job. But those are just some thoughts to just think about because I don't think it's absolutely a far-fetched thought or idea that the Patriots could be in play for Jimmy Garoppolo, but even then, that's not a guarantee. But let's deal with the certainty that we know right now. Are the Patriots better off with Cam Newton at quarterback for next season? The answer is yes. I know there are those that still will never claim, quote unquote, oh, he's not my quarterback. And I've heard that. Oh, well, rather, I've seen that on social media. And I'm just like, you fools. You fools. He is your quarterback, whether you like him or not. And if you want the Patriots to win, and if you care about the Patriots, that is your best option right now. There's no getting around it. That's just something to think about. Coming up next, I want to give you some thoughts on the NBA draft from last night and why I think this draft may have been the most entertaining and the most interesting draft that we've seen for quite some time. That and much more coming up next on the Shoot the Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shoot the Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch free from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
John, we can't keep putting this off.
Okay, I'll clean the gutters.
I'm talking about your dad.
Well, what can we do? He wants to stay in his house.
We can make his house safer.
Yeah, I worry about the steps.
Perfect world, there are no steps, but he does have steps. And that banister only goes halfway up. And all those little throw rugs are falls waiting to happen.
So what about his prescription meds? If he forgets and takes them twice, he could get really dizzy.
Right. We could get him one of those daily pill counters. And he should have some sturdy hand grips in the bathroom and shower. This is all easy to do.
You know he's a proud guy. He's not going to take all our fussing lying down.
That's the idea.
For older people, falling and breaking a hip can be devastating. For more tips on making home safer, visit orthoinfo.org/falls. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association.
Now please clean the gutters. Just be careful on the ladder.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss-Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app. Glad you're able to join this program on this Thursday evening, wherever you may be in the Boston area, as well as nationally as well. I want to take the time to talk about the draft last night because the Celtics, they didn't surprise me at all with any of their moves or lack thereof. No trades. They didn't trade any of their draft picks except for the 30th overall, in which that ended up becoming the Memphis Grizzlies pick. That's it. But then I really like the draft pick that they made in drafting Aaron Nesmith. I really liked it a lot because, one, this is a guy who can come off the bench or possibly even start, but more than likely come off the bench if Gordon Hayward does, in fact, return in terms of the bench needing scoring. And if you think about it, let's look at the Celtics starting five right now. If the season were to start tomorrow, Tatum, Brown, you have those two, Kemba Walker, the third, Marcus Smart, and then your fifth guy is center. I mean, and this Cantor is, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he is not coming back next season. But then you have a question mark at the center position, whoever that center is going to be. But Aaron Nesmith is not a center. He's a guard and a forward. But this was a guy who averaged 23 points per game, nearly 5 rebounds per game during the 2019-2020 season. And then his shooting percentage from the three-point range last season was absolutely spectacular, 52.2% from three-point range. And then he was also the leading scorer in the SEC before his injury. And interestingly enough, NBC Sports Boston had labeled Aaron Nesmith as the poor man's Klay Thompson. I think that's interesting considering that Klay Thompson is one of the great scorers in the NBA today, one of the great players in the NBA today, no question. I mean, you go back and you watch some of his highlights from when he was in Vanderbilt. Aaron Nesmith was a guy that could give you 23, 24, 25 points per game consistently. And I talked about how Danny Ainge didn't do enough to address the bench last season. Who knows? Aaron Nesmith could possibly become a starter in this league. I wouldn't rule it out. There's that prospect, but for right now, this is a guy who could potentially come in and contribute offense from the bench, coming off the bench, and as well as a guy who's shown that he could be a pretty good rebounder as well. And that's something that the Celtics sorely need as well. But I mentioned in the previous tease going into break that why I honestly believe that this NBA draft was so interesting and probably the most interesting NBA draft in quite some time. Here's my reason. Let's start with LaMelo Ball. How many of you honestly believe that he was going to go top three or four, five? There are those that were saying that, well, he's going to be maybe a number one overall pick. But I didn't see it initially. But when I tell you that I was surprised that he went number three overall to the Hornets, the Charlotte Hornets. But yet again, I can't sit here and I really shouldn't be here saying that I was shocked. And I thought that it was really super interesting when you talk about how the drama surrounding LaMelo Ball in particular. Was he going to go number one overall? Was he going to go number two, number three? Is he a top five draft pick? I mean, that in itself is one question in which that I definitely think that it was answered quite resoundingly. I mean, number one, not only LaMelo Ball didn't go number one overall, that went to Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards went number one overall to the Timberwolves. Number two, the Warriors, they drafted James Wiseman, and this was just hours after Klay Thompson suffered a leg injury in his attempt to return back healthy this season. So he had a bit of a setback, and that in itself is devastating as to what happens next season in terms of the Warriors returning back to prominence in the West. And then the Hornets drafting LaMelo Ball was definitely an interesting move. I mean, you and I could sit here and guess about will this pan out? No. I mean, will it work out? Maybe. Do I have a whole lot of hope that LaMelo Ball will be a better basketball player than Lonzo? Yeah, I think he has a chance to be a bit better, but I think Lonzo is a better shooter than LaMelo. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. But for me, the Knicks drafting Obi Toppin was, in my honest opinion, the highlight of the first round. And just seeing the raw emotions from this guy. 6'9", 220 pounds out of Dayton. And supposedly he is also from New York. And that one of the things that the scouts noticed was that he shows instincts on the defensive end of the court, but he was not a steady, disruptive defensive player last season, but he has a strong feel for the game. We'll just have to wait and see how it all comes together. Because last season, he averaged 20 points per game with 7.5 rebounds. So this is a guy that can give you 20 and about 8 rebounds a game and has an opportunity to become a better rebounder in the NBA. So that in itself is going to be interesting to watch how it all comes together. And also, in terms of the rest of the first round, the Celtics drafted Peyton Pritchard. And I thought that was a really interesting pick. 6'2", 206 point guard out of Oregon. And I thought that this was a guy in which that, although offensively, I feel like he has an opportunity to become even better, considering that he has pretty good quickness, and that he's a pretty decent ball handler and a shooter as well. But if there was number one concern that I have is him being a defender, a good defender, and his willingness to defend. I mean, this is the same guy who allowed 0.83 points per isolation possession, and that's in the 39th percentile. That's not very good. So if you're an NBA fan, you have to really like, I really liked and enjoyed what I saw last night in the NBA draft. I thought it was absolutely really good in terms of TV, in the way that it was all set up, you know, the players being at home with their families, you know, you could see like the genuine emotions and the raw emotions that they had, you know, celebrating and cherishing those moments. I thought it was pretty amazing. It was powerful. Now, I want to have the opportunity to switch gears a little bit in regards to the NHL, because there was talk about the players and the owners possibly butting heads after word leaked out via Hockey Central yesterday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto, in which that the players are not happy about having to return to the bargaining table and have to revise the CBA. And a big part of it has to do with having to defer money back to ensure that the league does not suffer any more financial losses. And I think that's a really tough and difficult spot to be in. There's no getting around it. the NHL, and as well as all the sports leagues, the NBA, the NFL. I mean, the NFL will be just fine given the TV contracts and so forth. So I'm not really worried about it at all. But the NHL is definitely in dire straits right now because of COVID and the financial ramifications and the damage because of the pandemic. But then there's also the part of in which I look at and I say, if the league knew that this was going to be an issue in terms of there's a second wave that we're currently are in right now, and on top of that, to make matters worse, that there would be more financial constraints. How on earth do you ask guys to give back money that they're supposed to be making for the financial health of the league? I don't think that sits well with the guys. I mean, if I'm being honest, I'd be upset. And according to Larry Brooks of the New York Post, longtime hockey writer, covers the New York Rangers for the New York Post, the players are not happy about it at all. And they know that this season and next season are going to be 2 years. That's basically going to be 2 years of which that the NHL is going to be playing catch up financially. And the owners thought, well, it would be a good idea to, you know, try to recoup some of that money back from the players. And this may be the straw that breaks the camel's back and where the players say, we're not doing it. We're not budging. I wouldn't rule it out. And I don't think it's something that the players, I believe, are going to be willing to do. They understand that they want to play, and they're like, listen, what's the deal? This is the line. Here it is. We're not crossing that line. We're not going any further more than past this point. Take it or leave it. I think that that's a very real possibility too. And I definitely think that it's going to be really fascinating to see how this all plays out, because if you are the NHL at this point, and there has been so much talk about getting the season started by January 1st. And my thing is, if that's what they want to do, you got a lot of work to do. It is now November 19th. You got essentially a month and a half, roughly. And there are a lot of factors that is going to play into whether if they are going to get the season started on January 1st or not. Time remains to be seen. A lot remains to be seen. Because right now there are no guarantees. There are absolutely no guarantees at all. And the NHL finds itself to be in a very difficult spot right now. As to what their plans are in terms of schedule, you know, and how the schedule module will look. All of this is speculation, but from what I've read, they're talking about doing some sort of bubble-like situation, not similar to what we saw in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but rather a bubble-like situation where, like, you have a collective group of arenas in which that teams will play, I believe, three games in those arenas and then switch and so forth. They're talking about having some sort of a module in order to have the 2020-2021 NHL season. But that remains to be seen. There's a lot that will have to have happen before we get to that point. Coming up next, final thoughts on this final edition of the Shukri Wright Show before Thanksgiving on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Memphis. That's the fun way.
This is Chris from Strike the Box. I'm on every other Thursday from noon to 2 p.m. here on WMFO in Medford. The show is 2 hours of free-form music, where I play just about anything and everything. And like a lot of other DJs on WMFO, I take requests. So if you want to hear it, and if I can find it, I'll put it on the air for you and on the internet. Whatever it is. How many other radio stations will do that for you, huh?
So much.
Now for the final thoughts right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Now, I mentioned earlier that I will not be on the airwaves next Thursday as it will be Thanksgiving. So there will be no Sugar Right Show next Thursday, but I will be back on the airwaves Thursday, December 3rd. For those of you who are awaiting my return and whatnot. But final thought is specifically just giving thought to everything that's happened this year and especially with the holidays approaching. I think it's important that we realize, in spite of the difficult circumstances, that we are fortunate, that we are blessed. And, I know I'm definitely going to be looking forward to, seeing sports on Thanksgiving. I look forward to having the opportunity to, just to keep my feet up and relax. Looking forward to, being with my family. And above all else, just having the opportunity just to be, with the people that I love most. And for those who aren't going to have the opportunity to spend the time with their loved ones, I simply hope that in spite of that difficulty, that you find the peace and that you have peace and that you're able to connect with them somehow, some way. FaceTime, phone call, And I know that this year, obviously, with everything happening with the pandemic, things are rather strange. That's not lost on me. But the importance of being surrounded by family and the people that you love has never been more important than this year. In a year that we've seen so much loss and tragedy and everything else that has gone on, it's important that we really take the time and cherish people that we have in our life. Because there's nothing worse than living with regret. Thanksgiving is not just one day for me. It's every day. But in a year where so much has happened and so much turmoil and chaos has taken place, it's important that we take the time to tell the people that we love that I love you. And I want to tell that to my audience and to those who I've been fortunate to do my radio show with that I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for being such loyal listeners and being fans of the show. And with that being said, that is going to wrap it up for the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Signing off for 2 weeks, back with you on Thursday, December 3rd. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. This is Sugar Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. See you in 2 weeks.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the